So I'm going to start off today with a story that comes from our First Nations tradition. An elder was teaching his grandson about life, and he said, "A fight is going on inside of me. It's a terrible fight, and it's between two wolves. One is evil. He is angry, envy, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego." And then he continued, "And the other wolf is good. He is joy and peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight that is going on inside of me is going on inside of you and inside of every other person, too." The little boy thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Well, which wolf will win?" And the old man simply replied, "The one you feed." We just prayed the collect for today, this Christ the King Sunday. There's a part in it that says, "The people of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, that they may be freed and brought together under Christ's most gracious rule." And none of us can escape the awareness that this collect calls us to be mindful of, that we are divided and enslaved by sin. And not one of us can claim exemption from responsibility for the world that we live in. And not one of us can honestly claim that we don't have responsibility for divisions that exist here in our community, in our province, in our nation. Because how can we be exempt when we can't even heal the minor divisions in our own inner beings, maybe in our families and our friendships and other relationships? So how do we reconcile all of this with the reality of Christ the King Sunday? Unless you think that I am too negative, let me assure you that I'm not going to leave you here. There is more. There is some direction that we can take, direction that will feed us on God's values, that will move us ahead into what it's like to live in the realm of God. And really, that's what Christ the King Sunday is all about. So the gospel provides a couple of things for us to be directed by. The first is that the dialogue between Jesus and Pilate shows us very clearly that there is a clash between worldly power and spiritual power. One is the threat of raw, absolute power, the kind of power that is alive and well in our world today. It is the power that divides and conquers, where strong triumphs over weak, where trust is destroyed and control and violence are in the forefront. The other is a power that renounces that power of strength and might and turns instead to the power of love and redemption. And the thing is that those two are not compatible. We, each of us, has to decide which power we will feed in our hearts, in our relationships, and in our lives. Another direction in the gospel is very much at the center of our culture today, and certainly in the culture down south, and that is truth. Jesus said in the gospel that he came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone, he said, belongs to the truth, listens to my voice. There is no lie. There are no politics, no shading or twisting of facts in Jesus' truth. It is pure God truth. And what is that truth? That truth is that God loves the world and all of it, and gave Jesus to show each of us how to live in that truth. And those who follow God truth listen to the voice of Jesus. And if we choose to listen to the voice of Jesus, it means we also have to choose to tune out all those many other voices that speak ever so much louder than God's voice. So how do we live in this time as citizens of the kingdom of Christ, as people who are fed by God, who hear Christ's voice and speak Christ's truth? Well, I think it means a few things. First of all, we offer ourselves to the world as bearers of the good news. Now, I've had a few parishes where I spoke about the good news, and the people in the pews did not know what that was. But I know you know what it is. Right? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Right? But that means that we are all loved by God, and we are all infinitely valued by God. Whether the world loves us or values us or gives a care for us or not. And this kind of love doesn't happen by sheer will. It happens because we cultivate our attitudes and our behavior. And what makes us different from any other gathering of people who do good in this world? What makes us different is church, the community where we come to learn about our faith, to be nourished in our relationship with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, where we are nourished in Scripture, where we are fed by prayers. And the more we take in these sources, the more truthful our lives become and the less vulnerable we are to the false voices out there. And secondly, if we are living as followers of Christ the King, that necessarily means we find ways to serve. We serve both him and others within and outside of this, our faith community. The thing about service is that it takes our minds off ourselves, and it opens us up to being changed by love when we are attentive to the stories and the experiences of other people who do not have or do not know what we have and know. And if we serve, this feeds our ability to be compassionate and non-judgmental. Third, if we live as people who know the power of forgiveness and reconciliation in our own lives, and if we have been practicing reconciliation in our own relationships, it means that we become the example for others. For others who do not yet know how to forgive, how to let go of anger, how to open up bitterness and unresolved pain so that the healing light of God can touch it. Choosing forgiveness feeds our ability to be the healing love of God in our world that is so hurt. And lastly, if we are living as followers of Christ the King, we have something that no one else does. We have the power of hope. We offer hope because we know God's love in creation, and we know our place in creation. And we know that God's creation, which includes not just our physical world, but our relationships and loving and caring community, all that is given to us by God for our joy and our mutual benefit. And in addition, we also have hope that when we die, it's not the end for us. That God is with us in death, in all those little deaths we have to go through as we experience our living, and also at the moment of our physical deaths, where God will be there to welcome us ever more deeply into God's heart, where God holds and keeps us precious for all eternity. That's huge. And if we are faithful to God and if we nourish ourselves with the values of God, then and only then can we be in partnership with Jesus. Jesus, who relies on us now to bring the truth of the power of love into the world that tries really hard to shut that out, but which desperately needs and, without knowing it, so wants to hear of that love and to embrace it. So joy, peace, love, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. That's what we celebrate today. And that's our mandate. And may the reign of Christ be visible and evident in each one of you and through each one of you today and every day from now on. Amen.